chapter 19. See you at the ceremony. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Revelations 22, 12.
It's a no-brainer that your past affects your present. And it's obvious that your present affects your future. But do you ever stop to ponder how your future affects your present? Don't get the wrong idea. I'm not talking about some brain-exploding science fiction tale where somebody travels back in time to become his own great-grandfather. That kind of stuff might be fun to ponder for a while, but it has nothing to do with reality. Although, come to think of it, when I look at pictures of my great-grandfather, what I have in mind is something far more potent, far more down-to-earth than the fancies of science fiction. God's Word tells us that pondering our future ought to have a profound effect on the way we live in the present, especially when life's trials tempt us to give up hope and toss in the towel. God takes great pains to remind us that He delights in rewarding His children for lives lived well, and He especially wants us to remember this when life doesn't seem either fair or good. That's why the Lord talks about rewards so often. He wants us to know that the day is coming soon when He will reach into the inexhaustible treasure chest of heaven and pour the most precious and exotic rewards imaginable, though they're really past imagining, on the heads of His faithful children. That day is as real and as tangible to Him now as this moment is to us, and that is why He urges us, pleads with us, even begs us to keep going, even if we feel we can't move another step. Do not throw away your confidence, pleads the writer of Hebrews to a congregation soaked in suffering. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. That's a potent promise, but somehow we adults often miss its power. Kids seem to have a natural understanding that if a person they know to be faithful makes a promise, especially a big promise, it's worth sticking with the program, however nerve-wracking the wait. But as our birthdays mount, sometimes the power of promises peters out. It's too bad, way too bad. Johnny Erickson Tata writes, "Maybe some adults poo-poo the idea of rewards, but I don't. The child in me jumps up and down to think God might actually reward me something. I remember when I took piano lessons as a kid and would squirm with delight on my bench whenever Mrs. Merson pasted gold crowns on my sheet music for a job well done. I wasn't so much overjoyed with my performance as I was in pleasing Mrs. Merson. My focus wasn't on what I did, it was on her approval. Sophisticated adults aren't into such whimsy, but children sure are." I think Johnny's right on target here. But what she writes next is even more gripping. Johnny, you probably know, is a quadriplegic whose ministry, Johnny and Friends, reaches out across the world to encourage people with severe physical handicaps. Sitting in her wheelchair, Johnny has thought a lot about heaven, and a big part of her heavenly meditations center on the rewards God says He's anxious to give her. That thought alone gets Johnny jumping up and down, at least in spirit. She says, "Nothing is so obvious in a heavenly-minded child of God as his undisguised pleasure in receiving a reward that reflects the approval of the Father." C.S. Lewis said, "To please God, to be a real ingredient in the divine happiness, to be loved by God, not merely pitied, but delighted in as an artist delights in his work or a father in a son, it seems impossible, a weight or burden of glory which our thoughts can hardly sustain. But so it is." So for all the children whom Jesus said were best fit for the kingdom of heaven, get ready for God to show you not only His pleasure, but His approval. This is how God intends for the future to change our present. Not through science fiction whimsy, but through prophetic fact as declared by the God who inhabits eternity. God plans to reward us one day, according to how we live today. And He wants this knowledge to transform our day-to-day journey. The Apostle Paul made this clear when he wrote, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. That good or bad stuff sends shivers down the spines of some Christians, but it isn't meant to. Paul does not intend to scare people, but to excite them. He wants to fill them with holy longing, not with awful dread. Of course, there is a real danger that any one of us could be found on the bad side of the ledger rather than the good. But it isn't necessary, and it isn't what God wants. That's why he repeats his message so often. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Ephesians 6, 7, and 8. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Colossians 3, 23, and 24. Never forget that God has a reward with your name on it, and all you have to do to receive it is to remain faithful and hang in there. Don't give up. It may seem like a long road ahead, but from the Bible's viewpoint, in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Hebrews 10:37. And what will he do when he comes? I'll let him tell you himself. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. So do well. Hang in there. Don't lose hope. And I'll see you at the reward ceremony.